Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for this day. Lord, it's another day that you have made that we can live and move and have our being in. Lord, we choose to focus our hearts and our thoughts and our intentions on you right now. Lord, the verse of the day said to not look at the things that's on the earth, but to look at the things that are in heaven. Lord, sometimes that's difficult for us in this natural realm, Lord, but your encouragement through your word tells us to, Lord. So today we set our eyes on things above, Lord. We set our hearts on things above, Lord, not on things of this earth. And we ask, Lord, that you would help us in that, Lord, that you would draw us into a deeper place with you. Draw us into your love, Lord, and your grace. Help us all experience in a new, deeper level today the goodness of God. Thank you, Father, for sending your Son. And thank you, Jesus, for saying yes. And thank you, Holy Spirit, for filling this earth with the presence of Jesus and God. We just receive all that you have for us today, all that you want to do in our lives, all that you want to do in our families, in our workplaces, all you want to do in this worship time, during the word, in our times of fellowship, Lord. We just receive you. We're grateful and thankful to be here with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
mask and the reality of His love right now. The revelation of the goodness of God and His love pour out all over us this morning. Thank you. my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet, my Savior on the cursed tree. Body bound and drenched in tears, they laid him down in Joseph's tomb, the entrance in my heavy stone, Messiah.
Oh, the Lord our God, oh, praise.
coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry. I'll bring you more than a song.
is the heart of worship. Hopefully he is the reason that you're here today. Not because you're checking off your Sunday's list, but because you love Jesus and he loves you. That's why we are called to not forsake the assembling together, because God loves us so much. He has so much in store for our lives. So much in store for your life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Eric, do you think we could do just a few times? I'm coming back to the heart of worship with just our voices. It's really, that's the bare minimum. Our voices crying out.
I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you.
It's amazing. God's made it all about us. He began the process. When we couldn't care less about him, he made it all about us. And now in love, we return and make it all about him. Yes, Lord, we make this day all about you. comfortable in this sweet atmosphere. Love on someone, hug someone's neck. We will be back in a few.
All right. Let's stand together. Let's do Heart of the House. Caden, if you put that up there. And we're going to declare great things over the house of God. This morning during pre-service prayer, I really felt a burning in my heart to pray over not only our church, but all the churches in the valley, just because I believe that God is doing something in the house of God and in our house, but also in all the houses of God in our valley. Amen? So let's declare this, and if you have a friends or family that go to another church, let's say this over this church as well, and just because we believe that it's not just about the church here, One Life Family Worship, but the church of God in the valley. Amen. All right, let's say this on three together. 1, 2, 3. I declare that God is building our church. God is calling us to the basic gospel, and He is awakening our church. That we will live a vulnerable life for the Lord, that God is working in our waiting, that our hearts are prepared to move where His heart moves, that we will cultivate a right heart and right mind, and we declare that we are reaching Yakima one life at a time. So, Father, we thank You for each and every person in this place, God, and I thank You, God, for the heart, Lord. Yeah, that our heart, Lord, would be for our city, would be for the church of Yakima, God. We thank You, Lord, for each role we have to play, God, Lord, in our workplaces, in our families, God, in all the places of influence, Lord, that You have us in, God. And I just pray, Lord, that we would represent, Lord, not just one life well when we're out, Lord, but You, Jesus, Lord, that every person that we come across, Lord, that we would express the heart of God to them, God, with our words, with our actions, God, with how we love them, Lord, how we think about them, how we speak to them. And we just thank You so much, God, the Lord, that You are madly in love with us. You are in love with Your church, God. And I just pray, Lord, that we would express that in all the places that we go. In Jesus' name, amen. We have, I think, just the offering. And so thank you guys for you guys to be seated. Thank you guys for giving to the house of God, to giving to our church here. You, as you know, you have a box here. We have a box in the back, and we can always give online as well. Thank you for your tithes and your offering. And then without further ado, can I have the young kids come up? We're going to bless you guys as you guys go down. All right, well, Jesus, we thank You so much for Your children, God. We thank You, Jesus, that You are blessing them, God. And I pray, Lord, that You'd be with them today, God, as they go down and learn about You, God. We thank You, Jesus, that there is no junior Holy Spirit. The same Spirit that is in us adults is in these children. We thank You, Jesus, that You are moving mightily, Lord, in the young people in our church, God. And we thank You, Lord, for the more that You're going to bring. And we just pray, Lord, over all these things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Is this yours? Mine. What is that sound? Oh, it's, gotcha, okay. I haven't heard it for a while, so it's like, gotcha, okay. Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Is everybody doing good this morning? Good. Before we get into the message, I just want to I always kind of like to do these kind of little instructional things on our style of worship, because I know some people are used to, you know, just having the song list, just kind of run the service, and, you know, there might be a slow part where people are, you know, getting a chance to get their spiritual legs under them. But what we're attempting to do here, and we don't always succeed, is to wait on the Lord. And sometimes that's just, you know, singing a verse over and over again. Sometimes it's just letting the guitar play, or if it's a piano, the piano play. And what that does is it gives the opportunity for, number one, for us to be still and know that He is God. Because sometimes it's difficult to be in a situation where you don't hear anybody else talking and you're not talking and it's just quiet. Well, you know, it's amazing because in those quiet times, God can speak to us. And even though He may not have, like, spoken verbally to you this morning, just know that when you give Him an opportunity by being still and quiet in His presence, He's doing something in you, whether you feel it or not. We had a song that we haven't done in a long time, but it's basically that God's a waymaker, and there's a line in there that He never stops working. He's always working. He's working when you're lying down. He's working when you're working at work. He's working when you're playing, and He's working when you're ignoring Him. He's still working in you because that's His nature. So, amen? Amen. So today, this message is inspired from a situation that happened about, it was last Saturday, and or maybe it was Friday. I'm not sure, but it was last week. And last week we had a really good time of just waiting on the Lord, and things moved to the place where I didn't share the message. And, you know, God's timing is perfect. But I was outside, and I was pulling weeds. And I love to pull weeds. No, I'm saying that by faith, because weeds just show up. So we have had an infiltration. You probably have noticed on certain Sundays you come in here, and the whole lower half, especially of our parking lot, is full of these weeds. And so I tried to be, you know, proactive and spray them. And evidently, whatever I sprayed on them, they liked it. And it seemed like they grew more. And so by the grace of the Lord, the guy who does our lawn one day texts me and said, "Hey, do you want me to pull these weeds?" And I'm like, "Boy, I want you to, but, you know, how much?" And he gave me a price. And I said, then he said he would spray the little ones that are left. I said, "Well, I just paid for, first of all, I paid like $200 for this spray. And I won't name the brand because I don't want to, you know, throw them under the bus. But I found out that these kind of weeds that we have, the really bad ones, are literally tumbleweeds. You know, those kind that roll on the freeway and, you know. And so what ended up happening, he pulled them, and he was here like from 4 in the morning till just before church started on a Sunday. So what we paid him was well worth it. I mean, he literally filled a truck full of weeds. And so praise God, the parking lot's a little clear. It still needs a little bit more work. But I was coming, and I was getting these weeds that were left over. And now, granted, we did a few of us last year. We pulled some. And, I mean, some of them did not want to come out at all. I mean, you would just pull and pull and pull, and you had to literally get a shovel to get them to break free. And so I was noticing there was new ones sprouting up all over. And I was pulling them, and I got to this little small one, and I just pulled it up, and it just came up just so easy. And it just made me think the funny thing about weeds. And so where am I going to go with this? Well, you'll see. But I don't know if you guys have strenuously tried to pull on a big weed. It can be like it's a tree. It can be like they really sink their roots in deep. And so I want to talk about weeds, thistle, thorns today, but there's a flip side to it, and hopefully you'll see that. But let's start in Genesis chapter 3, verses 17 through 19. This is basically right after man and woman had committed their first major sin that caused all of mankind, it says, to eventually become sinners and sin. It says here, "To the man he said, 'Since you listened to your wife and ate from the tree whose fruit I commanded you not to eat, the ground is cursed because of you. All of your life you will struggle to scratch a living from it. It will grow thorns and thistles for you, though you will eat of its grain. By the sweat of your brow will you have food to eat until you return to the ground from which you were made. From where
For you were made from dust, and to dust you will return. So this is the proclamation that is spoken over Adam after he has succumbed to his wife's enticement and has eaten of the fruit that she had already eaten from. And the part of the curse is these thorns and thistles. So when you get those in your yard, and when you get those on your driveway, and you get those in your feet, those thorns that go into your feet when you're walking barefoot in the house, and someone else brought one on the bottom of your shoe, or you did, and you step on it, those goat heads. Anybody like goat heads? I do not like goat heads. Anyway, those thorns and thistles are to remind you that man fell. And they are a byproduct of the fall. There were no weeds in the Garden of Eden. There are no weeds in heaven, praise God. Now, if somebody knows different, don't tell me now. We'll deal with them when we get there. But I don't think there are any weeds in heaven. I don't think there's any flies in heaven. I think there's certain things that we deal with here on the earth because of the fall. And so let's go ahead and turn to Matthew, and we'll see Jesus using an illustration of thorn bushes. Matthew 7:15-18. Beware of false prophets who come disguised as harmless sheep, but are really vicious wolves. You can identify them by their fruit. That is by the way they act. Can you pick grapes from thorn bushes? So Jesus is basically saying, these religious leaders that are telling you what to do, do what he says in another place, do what they tell you to do, but don't do what they do, because their fruit is thorn bushes. They're basically basically showing that their lifestyle is cursed. You can't get figs from thistles. A good tree produces good fruit, and a bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree can produce bad fruit, can't produce bad fruit, and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. So you're not going to get a beautiful lawn from weeds. It just doesn't happen. You know, you're not going to get an abundance of fruit and vegetables if you just let weeds stay in the ground. You have to plant something else. And unfortunately, because of these religious leaders for so long, these false prophets for so long, they had believed their own lie. You know, you say a lie long enough, you start to believe your own lie. They had become thorn bushes. They weren't producing the fruit that God was looking for. Speaking of fruit, here's another one. Mark 4:7. You guys probably know this. This is part of the parable of the sower. And it comes to one of the aspects where one of the types of ground that this seed's being planted in is full of thorns, full of weeds. It says, other seed fell among thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants. So they produced no grain. And then Mark 4:18-19, we get the definition or the explanation of what these individuals who are planted into this weedy soil are producing. It says, the seed that fell among the thorns represents others who hear God's word, but all too quickly, the message is crowded out by the worries of this life, the lure of wealth, and the desire for other things. So no fruit is produced. Now, this is amazing. This is saying that thorns, weeds in our lives are the cares of this world, the worries of this life, the lure of wealth, the desire for other things. And they literally choke out God's word. And we'll see later on in this message how the weeds of our lives, and we'll give it a name, can choke out God's work in our lives. I mean, I think we all desire to produce fruit for God. We all desire to be somebody that God would say, well done, good and faithful servant, at the end of our lives. As you get older, you really want to hear that, because you know your time's getting shorter before you're going to eventually see him. And you want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. You want to know that your life produced fruit that pleased God, the fruit that remains, as it says. In Hebrews chapter 6, verses 7-9, it says, when the ground soaks up the falling rain and bears a good crop for the farmer, it has God's blessing. So in other words, when you have a crop and it's soaking up the rain and this ground was prepared right and it produces a beautiful crop, it's God's blessing. But if a field bears thorns and thistles, it is useless. Now, Paul here is not talking just about a crop. He's talking about their lives. He's talking about, listen, if you receive this goodness from God, how many know that the Holy Spirit's like rain in our lives? It's like fresh water. It's like, you know, living water is what the Holy Spirit's described as, coming out of us, rivers of living water, to when we receive the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit's blessing on our lives, the Holy Spirit's presence on our lives is like rain. And it should allow us to bear a good crop. We should be fruit-producing individuals. And not just a little fruit here, a little fruit there. Fruit that remains, fruit that is substantial. You know, not like the fig tree that Jesus comes to and he has to curse because it had no fruit. It had leaves. It was saying, hey, I can produce fruit, but there was no fruit there. Some would say, well, it wasn't the time of the season of figs. That's true. But it was still saying to Jesus, fruit should be here because it had leaves. But if a field bears thorns and thistles, it is useless. Then Paul says, the farmer will soon condemn that field and burn it. And he says, dear friends, even though we are talking this way, we really don't believe it applies to you. We are confident that you are meant for better things, things that come with salvation. I love that. We were singing Yeshua, and I've said before, that means salvation. And Jesus was given to us. He says that for God loved the world, that he gave his only son. He didn't just give him for the day when he was coming in the manger. He didn't just give him for the day when he went to the cross for us. He gave Jesus to us for all eternity, for all time. And we possess him now through the Holy Spirit. We are possessed by Jesus. That's the kind of possession you want. You want it where the Holy Spirit's in you and you're possessed by God, right? Amen. All right, so Paul's saying, I don't believe that you're going to produce thorns and thistles. And I'm saying that to you. But let's do things in our lives that make sure that we don't produce thorns and thistles. That we don't let those thorns and thistles have room in our lives. Here's another verse. This is Jeremiah. Now, Jeremiah is communicating to the Jews, Israel. I believe it's to Judah and Jerusalem at this time because the upper nations of Israel have already gone into captivity in different places. But now he's talking to Judah and Jerusalem. He's saying, then when you swear by my name, and this previous part said, if you would do what I am asking you to do, then when you swear by my name, saying, as surely as the Lord lives, you could do so with truth, justice, and righteousness. Then you would be a blessing to the nations of the world, and all the people would come and praise my name. This is what he was saying about Judah and Jerusalem. If they got their act together, then they literally be able to communicate the Lord's will and plan for the nations in truth, justice, and righteousness. Those three cornerstones and foundation of God's kingdom. And this was before the cross and everything. Do you think we could be a blessing to the nations of the world? If we were, as we'll see here, good ground and produce good fruit, I think we can. I think that's God's desire for us. You know, when Jesus said to his disciples, go into all the world and preach the good news, you know, to all creation, to all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So this is what the Lord says to the people of Judah and Jerusalem. Plow up the hard ground of your hearts. Do not waste your good seed among thorns. So this could really go with Mark chapter 4, couldn't it? If you think about it, because he's telling them, before you plant in the soil of thorns, get rid of it. Plow it up. Now, I'm not a farmer, but I do know that when you do, you'll get things out of your soil and you agitate it, it seems like the weeds and don't have as much strength as the other crops that can grow in the good soil. and, you know, churn up the nutrients and all of those things. Praise God. All right. Now we're going to get to what I think weeds are in our lives. Genesis 4, what chapter now from when we started. When it was time for the harvest, Cain presented some of his crop as a gift to the Lord. Abel also brought a gift, the best portions of the firstborn lambs from his flock. The Lord accepted Abel and his gift, but he did not accept Cain and his gift. This made Cain very angry, and he looked dejected. Now, these are the two children of Adam and Eve, the ones that we read about that Adam was cursed of the ground because of his disobedience to God, not eating of the fruit and eating of the fruit that he wasn't supposed to. And now their kids, you have Abel, who seems like he's got his stuff together and he's bringing an offering to God that is pleasing. For whatever reason, Cain brought an offering that wasn't pleasing to God. Now, I think that some people say, well, it's because he was bringing his fruits and vegetables that he planted. I don't think that was it. I think the deal was is that God looked at the heart. And God saw Cain's heart, and he saw Abel's heart. And for whatever reason, Cain's heart was holding back from God. And because of this, his offering was rejected. And God's asking him, why are you so angry? The Lord asked Cain, why do you look so dejected? You will be accepted if you do what is right. In other words, if your heart is pure, I believe is what he's saying, you're going to be accepted if you do what is right. It may have been that he was supposed to take his fruit and get a lamb from Abel. I don't know. Some people say he gave that offering. That's why God. I think God doesn't look at the outer appearance. He looks at the heart. So it tells me there was a heart issue with Cain. And there was a heart issue with Abel. And Abel's heart was accepted. And for whatever reason, Cain's wasn't. Then he says, you will be accepted if you do what is right. But if you refuse to do what is right, then watch out. Weeds are at the door. Sin is crouching at the door, eager to control you, but you must subdue it and be its master. So yeah, the cat's out of the bag. I believe that weeds are a direct reflection of what sin can be to us. It seems like weeds and sin, and we'll see later on, weeds and sin, the characteristics between those two is like astounding. And the way that they work. Sin is crouching at the door, eager to control you. But you must subdue it and be its master. Then one day Cain suggested to his brother, let's go out into the fields. And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. So the weeds, sin, conquered Cain. It got the best of him because he didn't bring, as it said, the Lord, bring into his mind and heart the right attitude. He continued to dwell on the fact, oh, Abel's gift was accepted, mine wasn't, you know. And after a while, what happened? That dejectedness that he felt from God turned towards Abel, and it became hate and anger and resentment. And he eventually killed his brother. Now, am I saying to you that if you continue on the course that you're doing and let the weeds continue to crowd in your lives, you're going to kill somebody? No, but you may kill the promises working in your life. You may kill the plans that God has for you in the future. Because weeds have a way of choking out, as we saw earlier, the very plans that God has for you. Matthew 27, 28 through 31. I love this because this shows us that the thorns and the thistles, even though they were meant for evil, God turned them to good. In Matthew 27, 28 through 31, they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. This is Jesus now. They wove thorn branches into a crown and put it on his head. And they placed a reed stick in his right hand as a scepter. Then they knelt before him in mockery and taunted him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they spit on him and grabbed the stick and struck him on the head with it. When they were finally tired of mocking him, they took off the robe and put his clothes on him again. Then they led him away to be crucified. I don't think it's any accident that it was a crown of thorns that they put on him. If you think about it, what does the head represent? The head represents the head. I mean, it represents the leadership. It represents the where the thoughts and the intents and stuff come from, where our bad, you know, mindsets and our hurts and our pains come from. And Jesus had these thorns put on his head. I believe as a symbol that our minds are being redeemed. That's good news. To me, means that I don't have to let my own mind run rampant. I can bring my thoughts into captivity to the obedience of Christ. I can renew my mind with the Word of God. And why? Because Jesus basically illustrated as he could. Now you're saying, well, they put it on him. He let them put it on them. Remember, everything that happened to Jesus, he gave himself to. And everything that happened to him was for our benefit. His stripes, what do they mean? Our healing. And I believe his crown of thorns means the redemption for our mind. Amen? It means sin doesn't have to have its way with us anymore. Let's look at this. Romans 5, 19 through 21. Because one person disobeyed God, that was Adam, and he received the curse. We saw that. Many became sinners. But, I love buts sometimes in the Bible, because sometimes they're good, sometimes they're bad. This is a good but. But because one other person obeyed God, and who's that? The one who took took the thorns on his head, the one who took the stripes on his back, the one who took the piercing in his hands, and eventually the spear in his side, many will be made righteous. God's law was given so that all people could see how sinful they were. But as people sinned more and more, God's wonderful grace became more abundant. Says in another place or another translation, where sin abounded, grace much more abounded. In other words, where thorns overcame the crop, God's grace took away those thorns. See, I must have been, before I got saved, a very thorny bush, because I had a lot of sin in me. I had a lot of bad attitudes, I must have been like the kind, and I'm probably were like goat heads, because I would hurt people with my words, with what I said, and how I acted and conducted myself. I know that's hard to believe, Pastor Mike, yes, but I was, because I wasn't a new creation, and I was self-serving, I was selfish, I was, you know, all of those things that you become when you don't know God, or that you are when you don't know God. So just as sin ruled over all people and brought them to death, now God's wonderful grace rules instead, giving us right standing with God and resulting in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So before Christ, mankind was like thorn bushes, weeds, thistles. And Jesus comes in and makes us into trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, where we produce fruit for the kingdom of God. That's good news. And that transformed me from the inside out. Praise God. Galatians chapter 3, verse 22 says this, but the scriptures declare that we are all prisoners of sin. We are all before Christ caught up in this lifestyle of weeds and corruption. So we receive God's promise of freedom only by believing in Jesus Christ. So how are we free from this curse of thorns and thistles? Through the work of Jesus Christ and believing in that work. And that's his redemptive power from the cross and on the cross. Then Titus chapter 2, 13 and 14 kind of puts it all together. While we look forward with hope to that wonderful day when the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be revealed, that's something we're all looking forward to, I believe, when Jesus finally is established at the end of the age, as the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, all knees will bow, all tongues will confess, and he will be declared, you know, the King, the one who holds it all. And then he reminds us here, he gave his life to free us from every kind of sin, to cleanse us and to make us his very own people, totally committed to doing good deeds. One of the aspects of salvation is to free us from sin, to take me from being a thorny, you know, goat head bush, you know, that brings pain and hurt to others when they would get close to me, to being a tree of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. And he's doing the same thing for you. He's done the same thing for you. Now you just have to let the process of sanctification transform and change you. So let's look at some of these characteristics of weeds and just see how much they pertain to sin in our lives. Here's one of the traits of a weed. It has rapid growth. It quickly takes root and spread. Anybody ever notice that with weeds in your yard? It's like one day you can say, oh, there's a little tiny guy there, and then you come back a week later, whoa, what happened? They spread quickly. Small sins grow quietly but swiftly if ignored. In other words, you can have just like a little tiny sin that you give yourself to, and then if you ignore it, guess what? All of a sudden that starts to spread into your life in a way that it starts changing the way that you speak, the way that you act, the way that you respond to God, and sometimes the way you respond to others, and sometimes the way you view yourself. Weeds have high seed production. They can generate countless seeds that spread everywhere. And I'll give an illustration of how easily seeds can spread in a moment. Sins and vices spread through bad habits and lead to other unhealthy activity. How many know that when you see people give and we give ourselves to sin, it's like other sins creep in? It's like we're inviting friends. I've used this illustration before, but viruses, some of the early viruses would infiltrate a computer and they would literally invite their friends. They would say, hey, this computer has been compromised. Come join me in corrupting it. That was some of its signature. That's the same way with sin and vices. Another weeds and traits is persistence and toughness. They survive harsh conditions and return from small fragments. Can just have a little tiny root that gets left when you pull one. And if you don't get the whole root, that's all it takes. You got another weed coming up in a few weeks. Deep-rooted sins resist change and require intentional focusing and uprooting. You can focus on it for a minute. Okay, this is deep-rooted. Okay, I'm going to take care of this. Lord, forgive me. I'm not going to do it anymore. But sometimes, certain types of sins, you have to focus on and let the Lord continue to work on your heart before it's totally uprooted, for whatever reason. You know, I've heard stories of people, praise God, I was never addicted to alcohol, but I've heard stories of people who are addicted to alcohol, and they took work to be free from alcohol or other drugs or other sexual sins, pornography. Praise God, I've never been addicted to that. Had other things I've dealt with, but praise God, I've never been addicted to that. But there's certain types of sins that you have to say, Lord, I want you to continue to work on me. I see that this is an issue in my life. And you're constantly bringing it before the cross, and you're letting him renew your mind to the place where that no longer captivates you. But deep-rooted sins sometimes are very difficult to get rid of. Weed traits. Opportunistic behavior. They flourish in neglected, depleted environments. That's what our driveway. You notice that the one driveway where we're constantly driving over it, seems like they don't captivate it as much. But that one that just sits there on the far side, it's like, ah, this is the perfect place for breeding ground. And they flourished. And sins can creep in during spiritual weakness or neglect. You know, sometimes we get so hurt, things happen in our lives, that we just kind of start shutting down. And it's during those times when we shut down, we draw back, that sin can then captivate us. It can like grab your face and say, okay, follow me where I'm leading you, because we're weak. That's why we need to stay firm and strong in God. And sometimes that means just continue to read your Bible. Just continue to listen to your worship music. Even though you don't feel like it, continue to spend time with other believers by coming to church. Don't forsake the assembly together. Spend time calling those friends that you know really love you and will pray for you. Just simple things sometimes can get us through those times of weaknesses. Don't let it be where the sin of this world starts to captivate you. Dormancy and survival mechanisms. So seeds can survive harsh conditions for many years. You can have a seed of a weed sitting in the ground for years. And maybe just, you know, the conditions haven't been proper for it to grow. And then all of a sudden, you've got a crop. Old sins may reemerge under stress or temptation. That's why it's dangerous when you say things like this, oh, that'll never bother me again. You might say this, by the grace of God, that sin will never come back. Because now what you're doing, you're saying it's God's grace and his power that's going to keep it from coming back, not in your own strength. Stress and temptation come, stress and temptation come together. When we're under heavy stress, temptations come our way. You don't think the enemy's going to come at you when everything is going great and you're strong in God? He knows it's going to be like Jesus. Get away from me, Satan. I'm not going to mess with you. Jesus is like filling me full of his love and everything. I mean, sometimes he tries it, but it's hard for him. But when we're weak and we've been stressed out and we've had things come in our hearts and lives, that's when we're subject to his ways. Weed traits, competitive nature. They'll steal nutrients, water, and sunlight from desired plants. It's like they're suckers. They literally suck the life from the other plants around them, taking the nourishment, taking the vital stuff that helps the other plants grow and become strong. Sins suffocates our spiritual growth. It crowds out godly desires and hunger. When we're like into sin, unfortunately, we don't really desire God. When we've let those weeds come in our lives, spiritually speaking, it suffocates our growth in God and keeps us from becoming who God wants us to be. I told you there are a lot of traits that these two relate to. Reproductive versatility, countless ways to spread through wind, traffic, underground, traffic. They can travel underground. You guys have probably seen where you have a weed over here, the next one. Where'd that weed come from? You start pulling it and the roots going all the way 5 or 6 feet. It traveled to get to the next spot. Sometimes pulling a weed, getting rid of the weed, can cause more weeds to grow. They're the devil, I tell you. Sin takes on many forms, often disguised or rationalized to hold on to us. It has great reproductive versatility. But the good news is, did you guys see that believing in Jesus, what's it do? Gets sin out of our lives. Jesus conquered death, hell, and the grave so that we could be free from every kind of sin. Amen? Not just so that we go to heaven someday. Weeds release toxins that prevent other plants from going. I didn't know this. They literally can create a toxified ground that keep other plants from going around them. Sin creates shame, cynicism, or despair that stifles spiritual growth. So when we let sin come in our lives, that we have shame. You know, the devil comes in and says, you're no good. God doesn't want you. You know, nobody likes you. Go and eat some worms, you know, kind of like, you know, in other words, you know, you're pond scum, all of those things, you know. And he says much worse stuff, of course. But it stifles our spiritual growth. We start to get despair. We start feeling like there's no hope. And that's the toxins of sin in our lives. And then last but not least, for these traits of weeds, sometimes it takes professionals to remove weeds. And sometimes we need help from other believers to deal with the sins in our lives. Confess your faults one to another. What's it say in James? Confess your faults, your sins, things you're dealing with one to another. And what happens? And pray for each other. And there's a healing that takes place. There's a restoration. Now, you don't want to be just confessing your faults to anybody that, you know, you just come across at church. You want to make sure these are brothers and sisters that have your very best well-being at heart. That they realize that except for the grace of God, they may have to deal with something you're dealing with. And they're not going to go and broadcast your sins to others just so they can feel good about themselves. But sometimes we need our brothers and sisters. That's why we're here as pastors. We can help you through things. We've helped people through things before. We'll do it again. Then I want to give you some ways to control weeds and to control bad habits. One good way to control weeds is to prepare good soil. We saw that where God told them to till up their ground so that it didn't just grow with weeds. Plant good crops densely and maintain healthy growing conditions. For us, godly disciplines does not leave room for sin. It's hard. When you are pursuing God, it's hard to let sin come in your life. It's like an apple tree producing thorns. It doesn't happen. It's not the nature of the apple tree. And when we're in Christ and we're following God, our nature is to be a tree of righteousness. Regularly monitoring, quick actions when new weeds appear. That's what happened the other day when I pulled that weed and I was like, oh, that was so easy. That was going to be one day one of those giant thorn bushes. And I got it right at the bud and it was just like, you know, nothing. Evaluate your spiritual condition. If something is off or out of balance, correct it immediately. Don't let it go, continue. If there's something not right in your heart, don't let it continue. Bring it before the Lord. It says, come before the throne of grace boldly. That's the encouragement in Hebrews. Where we will find mercy and help in time of need. And then pre-emergent, treating the soil so that weeds have no chance to grow. This is the easiest one if you remember to do it. There's things that you can put in your soil. You know, preen is one of them. There's other more stronger chemicals like I'm going to use next year for our driveway and hopefully, praise God, it will work. But maintaining a healthy heart as a Christian makes it more difficult for sin to germinate in our lives. And how do we maintain a healthy heart? Well, if our heart condemns us, God is greater than even our wicked heart. And I believe if we come to the Lord and say, like David did, create in me a clean heart. Renew in me a right spirit, Lord. If we do that sincerely, you know what? He's going to respond in truth. He's going to give us that new heart. He's going to renew a right spirit in us if we're off course. Do you think if we ask for God to give us a fresh outpouring of his Holy Spirit, that he's going to give us wickedness in our lives? No. We know how to give good gifts to our kids, don't we? If they ask us for a fish, do we give them, you know, a scorpion? They ask us for an egg, do we give them a rock? I mean, you know, Jesus gave that illustration so that we know if we ask the Holy Spirit and ask God for things in our lives that are a blessing from him, we're going to receive those things. Amen? Notice, the funny things about weeds is that they can be pulled. They can be out of our lives. And the funny thing about them is that they're very much like sin. And the beauty of sin is that Jesus took care of it on the cross. It says, he became sin for us who knew no sin so that we could become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And when you know that verse, that's why knowing the Bible is pretty good, it's harder for the devil to come and lie to you. Being saying, no, I don't have to be a sinner. I don't have to follow your ways because Jesus Christ has made me righteous, which makes me a tree of righteousness, and I'm going to produce good fruit. Amen? Lord, we thank you, Father, for being in our lives, Lord, in such a way that weeds do not have to just encompass us. Sin does not have to overwhelm us. Lord, you took care of sin on the cross. As I said, you became sin who knew no sin, so that we could become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Lord, you have given us, Lord, this day to learn this truth in a new way, that we do not have to let sin overcome us. We do not have to let the temptations of life overwhelm us. And if we are, Lord, if we have been going down the wrong path, we pray, Holy Spirit, you would straighten our path out, that you'd bring us back to the balanced walk as a person of faith. We just give you, Lord, all of us. And we say, if there's any way that's crooked in us, any way that's not in right mind with you, Lord, that you would bring it to the place you want us to be. If there's weeds in our life, there's sin in our lives, Lord, we ask you forgive us. Bring us to full repentance, God. Change our hearts and our minds so we don't even desire those things anymore. And let us come, Lord, to your table, your banqueting table, which is your presence, and experience the fresh, fresh anointing that brings us to a place of new life, new vitality spiritually. And you'll get all the praise and the glory, the worship and the adoration, Lord, because it's your work that you're doing in us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
God demonstrated that love, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And he didn't just die for us. He now gave us the power to overcome sin in our lives and not be slaves of sin anymore, but slaves of righteousness. Amen. Amen. Love you guys. Have a blessed day. And we'll see you soon.